It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Raul LaBrèche is here with a special edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be on Carolina in the morning. Things will just be whirling as I talk with my friend Verlin at McFarland's. Yes, that's right. We're doing a special edition because once a week with Mornings at McFarland's is just not enough some weeks. And this is one of those weeks. In fact, I feel bad that we didn't talk last week on June 1st, because I think a week ago was June 1st, wasn't it, Verlin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
which would have been wonderful because you actually had a grand opening of one of the major things we're here to talk about this morning, which is Badger Ammunition Museum. It just opened up down the road here after years of planning and working on it. So, but my guest this morning is Verlin Mueller. Verlin is the museum curator and archivist.
Right.
Is that the correct way? Okay.
Yep.
For the Badger Army Ammunition Museum. Are you using BAM as the working title?
No, well, it's Museum of Badger Army Ammunition.
Oh, okay.
MOBA.
The Museum of Badger Army. Okay. I'll have to write that down, I think, here at one of our breaks so that I can, because MOBA, I like the sound of MOBA, though. It's like the mobile MOBA app.
Yeah.
So thanks for being on the show with me today, Verlin. I'm really looking, and you say Verlin Miller, not Mueller. So, yeah. Which it's confusing because there are the M-I-L-L-E-R Millers.
Yes. And I'm related to them as well.
Are you really?
Yes.
Okay, so that was just like McFarland when it got changed from M.A.C. McFarland to M.C. McFarland,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And it had that same kind of thing, isn't it? So, yeah. Or the notorious agents of customs or immigration where people would come through and say, that's too long of a name.
Name got misspelled.
Yeah, or the handwritten. That's what when it got finally typed up, it was, you know, and this is my interpretation of your handwriting.
Yeah, right.
So, well, welcome to the show, Verlin.
Thank you.
Those of people that may not know you, which it's hard to imagine, you've been really a fixture in the community for a long time. And I mean that in all the best ways possible. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a lifelong member of the community?
I grew up in Prairie du Sac.
Okay.
My dad was a self-employed carpenter.
Okay.
And I worked with him after I got out of high school. And I spent 4 years in the Air Force and got electronics training.
Okay.
And then came back and worked with my dad until the dust got too much for me. And about that time, the Badger Army Ammunition Plant was opening up.
Okay.
So I got a job out there working in maintenance and instrumentation.
Okay.
And
so you would have been working with your dad in the 20s and 30s?
No,
30s
I wasn't
and 40s?
Old enough for them.
Okay.
50s.
Okay.
When I was in high school.
Okay. So that's when you got, okay.
So, yeah.
And then you were with Badger Army Ammunitions during the 60s?
Vietnam.
Okay.
I went to work out there in August of 66.
Okay.
And 3 weeks later, a building blew up. That was my introduction.
Oh, wonderful. Did they attribute that to your starting there? You were an explosive personality?
No, so, fortunately.
That's a good thing. Yeah, you don't want to have people thinking, oh, this guy's just dangerous to be around. He's just a volatile guy. I don't know.
That wouldn't be good.
No, not at all.
No.
So I would imagine that that was pretty much a very large employer for the area at that time, right?
Badger was historically the best paying job in the Tri-County area, I would say excluding Madison.
Okay.
Hard to beat Madison.
Of course, back then, getting into Madison was a lot harder to do, too.
Yeah.
So.
But it was the biggest employer in this area. World War II was over 12,000 construction and production. Korea and Vietnam were both about 5,400.
Okay.
So still the biggest employer in the Tri-County area.
Okay. So, and there had been dips in its employment cycle because of, obviously, the war you're doing more.
Between the wars, it was shut down.
Okay.
After World War II, they almost got rid of it.
Okay.
And somebody recognized that maybe we should keep it because they had a brand new rocket production facility. It had run for less than a year.
Okay.
So they kept the plant. And then after Korea, they maintained it in a standby arrangement or program where I think production areas were on a standby where they could be in production 90 days after notification to reactivate, really? Which really? Is moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
Now that's the, you know, and that's not getting the complete line done. That's starting production and going from there.
Are you? I'm just getting a note here. Okay. Are you? I was thinking, how? What about Prairie du Sac back in that day and age? I mean, I moved to the area in 1990, so I, you know, feels like I'm starting to feel like I'm a townie.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Not quite there yet, but starting to feel like it. Yeah. I mean, I've seen enough changes now that, oh, I remember when that was a grocery store.
Yeah, right.
And then it was a flea market, and the, and now it's a hot, it's a clinic. So, But what was it like back then? What was the community like back then? Do you remember? What are the major changes, I guess, that you think you've seen over the
years? Guess the biggest change I've seen is size.
Okay.
When I graduated from high school in 57, population of Prairie du Sac was 1,908.
Okay.
Sauk City was somewhere around 2,200, I think.
Okay.
And now the villages combined are over 6,000, pushing, okay. I think, pushing 7.
Okay.
So there's a lot of growth.
Okay.
New businesses, obviously, because we have new needs, and other things have changed. Grocery stores have really, you know, when I was a kid, there was no such thing, at least in this area, of self-service.
Yeah.
When Kirstein's started doing that with their store, that was new. And otherwise, you went in with your grocery list. You gave your list to the clerk, and he went around and he got all your stuff off the shelves.
Really?
And brought it to you.
Really?
And there was home delivery, and the boxes they used were kind of cool because they would fold, wooden boxes, and they would fold up. So he'd bring your groceries in and unload, and then fold up his box and go. And during World War II was rationing.
Boy.
So I remember. Arguing, fighting with my brothers and sister, who was going to give him the ration stamps.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was fun for us, but it wasn't for my parents.
Yeah.
And
I remember that my mom and dad had some of those ration stamp books that they held on to after the war.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's so foreign to us today to think about things like sugar and tires and gas being strictly enforced.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just so used to, go buy some more, whatever you need, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there were a lot of things that were just coffee. And wasn't coffee?
Coffee
another?
Was rationed. And that's what I was just thinking. You know, people who have to have their coffee would be in trouble.
Yeah, I would. I'd have to. I don't know what I'd do. I'd have to like go to the coffee black market or something.
It would.
I would not survive a coffee rationing.
Yeah.
So was there? You talk about where was Kirchner's?
Kirstein's.
Where was Kirstein's? You know, because I've seen ads for them.
Where the clinic is.
Oh, that was Kirstein's. Okay.
Yeah.
And then that became like a flea shop kind of thing. I remember them having different stuff in there when we first moved to town.
I think at one time it was a. Like a flea market, or used stuff.
Yeah, like kind of like Delaney's outside of town.
Yeah,
like a small version of that.
Yeah.
So and that now of course it's the Prairie, but that so that was there wasn't Sauk Prairie Market or Century. There was Kirchstein's.
Kirchstein's. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then eventually the supermarkets came to Sauk Prairie. You know, after every place else, you know, the supermarket. Well, it costs too much for the store owner to pay somebody to go get your groceries when, you know, all you had to do otherwise, you let the customers get to what they want and you check it out.
Right. But I guess that, you know, I'm 56 years old, and that's the first time I ever have heard of that where you had that sort of service provided, and people were used to that. I suppose you can't have people just going in the aisles. I mean, they'll just take anything.
Yeah, well, and the groceries and stuff, where the shelves were floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
So you couldn't.
Sure. You had all kinds of steps to be able to get up.
Oh, yeah.
So warehouse shelving is not that new of a thing.
No. Not at all.
It's just it was a variety of things, not just backup for the stuff that's down below.
And I remember, I think there was one of the grocery stores, at least they had a long rod with a gripper on the end, okay. and he'd reach up to the top shelf wherever and grab a hold of that can and bring it down.
Well, and isn't that interesting too? Because now, you know, Amazon Fresh, that whole—I don't know if you've read or
I
seen.
Think I've heard of.
Yeah, it's the whole idea of Amazon now providing grocery capabilities for people in some of the larger areas. So they've been test marketing like in Seattle and in San Francisco, those kinds of places.
Home delivery.
It's the same thing. I mean, it's just
we've completed the circle.
Right. Yeah. Well, and now it's going to be drones that will deliver. So there'll be little quadcopters coming around everybody. Such and such is getting pizzas. Yeah, that'll be great. So there must have been, and back then, too, the high school was different, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Prairie had a high school, Sauk had a
Prairie
high school.
Yeah, Prairie had a high school, Sauk City had a high school. The best attended basketball, football games were between Sauk City and Prairie du Sac.
Boy, that must have. And then were there fights afterwards?
The gym, we didn't do that. We were good kids in those days.
Good. There was no those Sauk City idiots. They don't know what they're doing. They cheated.
The gyms would have a tendency to get a little loud.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, high school but kids in that kind of situation.
Yeah, it was good.
So, wasn't Prairie's High School was where the Washington Square?
Yes and no. The original school, I need to be careful, where Washington Square is, there was a school that was 1 through 12.
Okay.
There was no K.
Okay.
There was no kindergarten.
Okay.
And then...
Let alone pre-K.
Yeah. And then they kind of outgrew that, and for heaven's sakes. I've forgotten the name now. It'll come to me when I don't need it.
Okay. As do so many things in life.
It was principal at the time. Then when the dam was completed it came online in 1915.
Okay.
Once it started producing, then property taxes were due.
Okay.
Well, the Prairie du Sac needed a new high school, so the dam property taxes paid for that high school.
Oh.
Then some years later, it needed to be expanded, and the dam taxes paid for that.
Okay.
And then the gym and the school principal superintendent designed the gym, and that's the only thing that's standing of my alma mater. In 64, it burned to the ground.
Okay.
The gym didn't. That's the Grand Avenue gym.
Ah, okay.
And when I was in fourth grade, they built a new elementary school. That's the Grand Avenue Elementary School, which has since been expanded.
Right, right.
And so I was 1 through 4 and was on Washington Square.
Okay.
And then moved to the new fifth grade.
Okay.
And sometime after that, I'm not sure just how long, sometime after that, they discontinued use of the two-story big school building, and that got torn down.
Okay. And then that got turned into Grand Avenue
School. Turned into,
Okay.
Yeah.
So, which now, that's 3 through 5, I think.
I'm not sure what it is.
6.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. But
and
we got,
so you would stay in that same school all the way from fifth grade through high school.
Yeah.
So.
Well, fifth grade, The gym was between the high school.
Okay.
And that elementary school.
So where that parking lot is now was kind of the, would that have been the high school?
The high school was west and south of the gym.
Okay.
West of the gym and then south.
Okay. So it would have been more out into Marion Park land or the basketball hoops and stuff out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was just a small, I think there was some parking between the swimming pool.
Okay.
And high school.
So when you go into the Grand Avenue gym,
I graduated from high school.
So that stage where there's classrooms set up there now, I don't know.
It's been years since I was in there, so I don't know what it looks like anymore.
Okay.
But the stage was where the band practiced, and I played in the band.
Okay.
The band director was recruiting when I was in seventh grade.
Okay.
Out of seventh grade. So I went, and I was interested in music anyhow. I was singing in the school chorus. And so I didn't know what the instruments were. So I pointed to a trumpet and the sousaphone. And he said, well, one of those. And he said, well, you're going to play. He pointed to the sousaphone. You're going to play that one. So I'm an ex-sousaphone player. And so I started.
Yeah, here we go.
He started me in eighth grade.
Okay.
So a certain time of the day, I had to leave the eighth grade class, which the instructor wasn't real thrilled about, and go over to the high school gym.
Sure.
To the stage to practice with the band.
You mean you were actually excused from classes for an arts activity?
Yes.
Oh, my God,
yes.
What has happened to us?
Yes.
That's the way it should be, ladies and gentlemen.
We weren't as backward as we might think.
In some ways, you were more progressive than we are today. Yeah. There are all kinds of people fighting for that same kind of ability now.
Yeah.
But reading, writing, and arithmetic. So,
yeah, they're important, and so is the rest.
Yeah, very much. Well, and you think of it in terms of well-rounding you and your experiences that you had. So, sousaphone, I never would have known you. Maybe you and Fritz Wittenbach should get together when they do the happy birthday thing.
I still have my sousaphone.
Well,
my folks bought a sousaphone when I graduated from high school.
Wow.
And they couldn't afford it.
No. Gosh, but,
that was a $500-and-some instrument.
Holy
at that
cow.
Time. Now you're looking at a couple thousand.
Well, I mean, in terms of the dollars back then, $500 was, holy
cow.
That
was a lot of money.
Yeah, that was 10 months' wages or 12 months' wages.
I don't know, but that was a lot of money.
My mom and dad, I remember seeing things for their house payment for the house that I grew up in, and I think it was a $48 a month mortgage payment. It was not uncommon. And that's Milwaukee, Well, we're talking with Verlin Miller this morning. Verlin is the chief archivist and curator for the Museum of
Badger Army Ammunition.
Okay, Museum of Badger Army Ammunition. I'm going to remember that somehow. So don't go anywhere. We're going to talk more about that museum and some of the things that are going on there and some of the history behind getting that museum going. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors here on WRPQ Radio, 99.7 FM Radio.
The almost unearthly luster of pearls has always been prized and well-loved as a gift. Sophie's Fine Jewelry in Baraboo has shimmering pearls and earrings, pearls in pins, pearls in necklaces and pendants, pearls with price tags as varied as the selection. Pearls with their mysterious glow add a translucent beauty to the woman who wears them. When you give a gift of pearls, she'll love them as much as she'll love you. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts, Highway 12 in the Baraboo Mini Mall.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com. Summer is warm weather, the great outdoors, and some common health ailments. These can include sunburn, poison ivy, tick and insect bites, bee stings, sinus, pink eye, earaches, and sore throats. When illness strikes, see the Prairie Express Clinic at 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. Prairie Express is a walk-in clinic providing the best possible care for patients ages 12 months and up. Prairie Express Clinic offers convenient hours of 9 to 7 Mondays, 1 to 7 Tuesday through Thursday, and Fridays 9 to 4. Prairie Express Clinic, dedicated to caring for the community the past 60 years.
And we're back here on WRPQ Radio 99.7 FM in Baraboo, Sauk Prairie. And my guest this morning is Verlin Miller. Verlin is the curator and archivist at the Museum of Badger Army Ammunition, MOBA, here in town, which you just had an exciting event just last Thursday. Was the ribbon cutting for the organization, right?
Right. We just reopened for business after 3 years and 2 months of being closed.
You've got it down to the day, probably,
and
right?
Not quite, but that was 3 years and 3 months too long.
Why? Yeah. Well, and it was kind of we were talking a little bit about that. It was sort of a process of one step forward, two step back at some points, and then two steps forward, one step back.
Well,
and
there were delays. And part of it, when the Army transferred, the building we're in was an Army building.
Okay.
And when the Army transferred it to the DNR, which is now our landlord, when it transferred to DNR, the building had to meet current building codes, which it did not, and we knew it didn't.
Sure.
But the DNR couldn't really do much. They couldn't authorize us to do anything because there was no master plan.
Okay.
They can't do anything without a master plan first.
Okay.
So after a couple of years, and they allowed it. We were able to stay in the building and work on the archives, take care of our archives. So it wasn't a total negative, but a pretty big one.
Okay.
So when the master plan was approved, then they could approve our plans to bring the building up to code.
Okay.
The DNR brought in dedicated electric service before our service had come through the Army system.
Okay.
So they brought in a dedicated electric service, which was not a small sum of money.
No.
And then they paid whatever fees or what they got us hooked up to the water. We pay the utilities.
Okay.
And that's our rent.
Okay.
Which I think is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
They will have a couple offices in the building.
Okay.
But we're the principal occupant of that building.
And is that pretty, that when I drive by there now, there are, what, two buildings that are still standing, or is it just the one?
Well, we're the one that's closest to the highway.
Okay.
And then there are other buildings that you can see that are still standing, and those were initially requested by the new landowner.
Okay.
At least that's my understanding.
Okay.
And some of the buildings, there's two big buildings that you can see from the highway that were used by the demolition people.
Okay.
So they needed the buildings.
Okay.
So they're good sound buildings. They're well built buildings. So I'm not sure. And Ho-Chunk owns those now.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what they will do with them. I think they're still in their planning process.
Okay.